and wondered what had become of the boy. Stance hadn't returned. He shrugged, went on. He smiled. He was ready. It was going to be simple. The town was in an uproar. A guard had tried to assassinate the new monitor. The monitor was so bewildered and frightened he had locked himself in his quarters. Crazy rumors abounded. Bowmans walked through it with such calm dignity that he startled people who had known him for years. He went to the edge of the Barrowland, considered his longtime antagonist. Visand lay where he had fallen. The flies were thick. Bowmans threw a handful of dirt. The insects scattered. He nodded thoughtfully. Visand's amulet had disappeared again. Bowmans located Corporal Husky. "If you can't do anything to get Visand out, then toss dirt in on him. There's a mountain around my pit." "Yes, sir," Husky said, and only later seemed startled by his easy acquiescence. Bowmans walked the perimeter of the Barrowland. The sun shone a little oddly through the comet's tail. Colors were a trifle strange, but there were no ghosts aprowl now. He saw no reason not to make his communication attempt. He returned to the village. Wagons stood before the shop. Teamsters were busy loading them. Jasmine shrilled inside, cursing someone who had taken something he shouldn't. "Damn you, Tokar," Bowmans muttered. "Why today? You could have waited till it was over." He felt a fleeting concern. He could not rely on Stance if the boy were distracted. He shoved into the shop. "It's grand," Tokar said of the horse. "Absolutely magnificent. You're a genius, Bo." "You're a pain in the butt. What's going on here? Who the hell are all these people?" "My drivers. My brother Cleet, my sister Glory, Stance's Glory, and our baby sister Snoopy. We call her that because she was always spying on us." "Pleased to meet you all. Where's Stance?" Jasmine said.
"I sent him to get something for supper. With this crowd, I'll have to start cooking early."
Bowmans sighed. Just what he needed, this night of nights. A house full of guests. "You, put that back where you got it. You, Snoopy, keep your hands off of stuff," Tokar asked. "What's with you, Bo?" Bowmans raised one eyebrow, met the man's gaze, did not answer. "Where's the driver with the big shoulders?" "Not with me anymore," Tokar frowned. "Thought not. I'll be upstairs if something critical comes up." He stamped through the shop, went up, settled in his chair, willed himself to sleep. His dreams were subtle. It seemed he could hear at last, but could not recall what he heard. Stancil entered the upstairs room. Bowmans asked, "What are we going to do? That crowd is gumming up the works."
"How long do you need, Pop?"
"This could go all night, every night for weeks, if it works out." He was pleased. Stancil had recovered his courage.
"Can't hardly run them off."
"And can't go anywhere else, either." The guards were in a hard, bitter mood.
"How noisy will you be, Pop? Could we do it here, on the quiet?"
"Guess we'll have to try. Going to be crowded. Get the stuff from the shop. I'll make room." Bowmans's shoulders slumped when Stancil left. He was getting nervous. Not about